Good morning, and welcome to Heaven's Radio Gospel Hour on KKRN Community Radio, 88.5 FM. I'm your host, Janie Seeger, and for the next hour, we'll be sharing the good news in song. Today, I have a very special guest in the studio. You've heard his music many times on this show. He's Chris Mullins. He's multi-talented, a singer, songwriter, and musician, as well as a recording studio engineer and instructor. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your music, Chris?
Yeah, so my music project is called New Time String Band. I opted to have an artist name rather than just putting it under my name because the goal is to make it sound like a cohesive band. A lot of the tracks is just me playing all the instruments and mixing and producing it, but I do hire some session musicians as well. So some of the people that are on the Lion's Den record is Bruce McMillan from Chico, who also has a guitar store up in here in Reading with Music Connection, and he plays some dobro on I think three of the tracks. A friend of mine named Tor Erickson is doing some background vocals on a couple tracks, and there was a drummer named Arana Chula, who is he's Malaysian but lives in Australia now, and he's doing the percussion on one of the tracks also. So it's kind of a big mixture. You know, we were just talking before the show about the genre, and I'm drawing on a lot of different influences. I wouldn't call it bluegrass. Some of the tracks are straight up bluegrass. Some of them are just me and a guitar. But what really interests me is combining different genres and different influences. So, you know, trying to take a clawhammer banjo, or I have an African gourd banjo, which is fretless, and then combining that with drums and electric guitar, and just trying to get this combination of different influences. That's what really keeps me kind of interested.
And that's the New Time String Band?
Yeah, New Time String Band. It's really just me right now. Yeah, maybe one day, you know, we'll have some other musicians and play live, but right now it's just a studio project. I'm currently working on a second album and then trying to just get the word out about the first album.
What was the name of the first album?
Lion's Den. So I put out a couple singles. There was Cool of the Day was released as a single, and then also there was a double single called Paradise in My Soul, which was two songs that were kind of inspired by the campfire and a lot of the things that my friends went through with the Paradise fire that happened a few years ago. And those are just acoustic songs, but so all together on the album, it's a short album, I think only eight songs or something like that. But first full album that I've done.
Do you sell the hard copy albums, or do you buy those? What can we buy those online?
So I opted for just digital distribution on this. So it's available on all streaming websites. You can buy it online. It's on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, all those websites. I opted not to do hard copies this time just because it's, you know, you have to have a lot of inventory on hand. You know, I don't know how many they're going to sell. And it seems like a lot of people are just listening on their phones nowadays. And I don't know, my goal is just really to just put the music out. I'm not making any money at this, but at least it's out there and people can go and listen to it.
Do you have aspirations of doing something more with it later?
Well, yeah, like I said, if I could get to a stage where there could be a band and we could go and perform and things, and then that would be a lot of fun. You know, it's I just have all this music that I've written over the years, and I started out writing instrumental stuff. I studied composition in school. Writing stuff is kind of the most exciting part of the process, and now hearing it with other people on it, that's a lot of fun. You know, when you hear other people playing on your music. So, it's definitely an aspiration, but I'm just kind of along for the ride at this point, just trying to see what happens and kind of go through that creative process.
So the New Time String Band is making a second album now?
Yeah, well, I'm working on a second album. It takes me a long time. So I'm working on some songs for that. Some songs I've written and some instrumentals. The next album probably won't be released till 2024, realistically, but it's pretty exciting. I've got some collaborations with a fiddle player in Scotland, and there will be a banjo player from Nashville who played with a group called Cadillac Sky, who's really excited about that. And who else? That I'm using that drummer again, and we'll see who else. So, yeah, just keep kind of my hobby to keep me interested in doing new music.
That's great. You sent me some other songs of a different group, the Skybreakers. Could you tell me something about those two?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for playing those, by the way, Janie. I really appreciate that.
That's great music.
That was a bluegrass band that I played with when I was living in East Kentucky. I mean, it was straight up bluegrass. Sometimes we would do gospel shows. Sometimes we do, you know, original or cover music. I mean, all bluegrass bands are cover bands, right? You know, you just do a lot of that. But we decided to do this gospel EP, and those are two of my favorite songs off of there. My friend Bruce Neese is the one who's singing the vocals on that and playing the guitar. Just a fabulous musician and a friend of mine. And I really enjoyed that project, and there was something a lot of fun. We would go out and play some of those songs, kind of little church circuits around there, and really, really enjoyed producing that. So I'm playing the mandolin and produce that, but those vocal harmonies, that's not me. I'm not a good person at singing harmonies for sure.
Well, it's well put together. I really enjoy your music. And you were a member of that Skybreakers back then too, right?
Yeah, I don't know if they're still doing anything or not. The other groups were Jeremy, Katie Moses, Fiddle, the bass player. So I imagine they're still making music, but that was what we were doing there for a few years together in that kind of arrangement.
Let's hear a little bit of this. Tell me about Cool of the Day.
So Cool of the Day was the first single off of the Lion's Den record, and that was originally a song by Jean Ritchie, who was from East Kentucky. She played the dulcimer and wrote a lot of these Appalachian songs that now are kind of in the repertoire of being traditional. They feel like traditional songs to me, but she in fact wrote that one. And I've heard different ways that people have done that, a cappella with banjo and stuff, but kind of what I'm trying to do, if I do a song that I don't even like to call it a cover, you know, just if I'm doing a song that somebody else did, try to take it in a totally different landscape. So with that one, there is a clawhammer banjo, but I've also got drums and electric guitar and kind of going for some modern production styles and stuff. So, trying to just give it kind of a more modern vibe on there.
All right, well, let's hear that. Here's Chris Mullins, New Time String Band, Cool of the Day.
So green. You may live in this garden if you will feed my sheep, and I'll return in the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. All the earth is a garden, garden of my Lord. And he walks in his garden in the cool of the day. My Lord said unto me, do you like my pasture so pure? You may live in this garden if you keep the waters clean, and I'll return in the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. All the earth is a garden, garden of my Lord. And he walks in his garden in the cool of the day. Garden if you keep the people free, and I'll return in the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. All the earth is a garden, garden of my Lord, and he walks in his garden in the cool of the day. Yeah, he walks in his garden in the cool of the day.
Tell me again about Paradise in My Soul.
So there were two songs that I wrote and that are on the album. It's just me and a guitar, fingerstyle guitar, and those were inspired by what some of my friends told me about their experiences in the campfire that happened in Paradise a few years ago. And, you know, I don't write these kind of songs because I'm trying to sort of trigger anyone with traumatic experiences. I just think that music can be healing. And I remember a friend of mine said something really powerful to me that, you know, he was talking about losing everything and losing his town. And he said that, because he's a spiritual person, you know, and said that nothing could take from him the sense of paradise that exists within his soul. And that was where his paradise was not attached to anything physical, but what was on the inside. Mm. And I remember that line. I thought, wow, that's
powerful. That's
powerful.
Right.
Yeah, that was powerful. So I just tried to draw that into the rest of the song.
You can't take anything with you. It's all moth and rust.
That's right.
Well, all right. So here's Paradise in My Soul.
I've been sifting through my memories. I've been sleeping out in the cold, running damn near empty, and I need a friend to hold. I've got ashes on my doorstep, rubble in my street, friends who still are missing in paradise when we meet. I may have sickness in my body, troubles beyond control, but with holes in both of my pockets, I got paradise in my soul. Lord, give me shelter when I'm weary, breath when I'm choked, faith when I'm not able to see beyond the smoke. 'Cause I've a church without a steeple and a house without a stone, rhythm in my body, a melody of my home. I may have sickness in my body, or troubles beyond control, but with holes in both of my pockets, I've got paradise in my soul. As we cross along this journey, may I grip your helping hand. I adore your grace and giving, but I'm bound for another land. 'Cause I am just a pilgrim, for I am but a guest of this life so fleeting, till I'm laid to rest. I may have sickness in my body, or troubles beyond control, but with holes in both of my pockets, I've got paradise in my soul. Yeah, with holes in both of my pockets, I've got paradise in my soul.
tell me about Mr. Jesus.
Well, I don't have much of a story with that one. Both of those songs, Mr. Jesus and the other tune that's on there Lowest Valley. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Those are both, I'm sure, written. They weren't original songs in the group. The singer, Bruce Neese, he would bring those songs to us. You know, he'd start with the guitar and then we kind of put our arrangement to it. But, I really like the way that he was able to do his guitar parts and vocals on that.
All right, let's hear that one now. Here's Chris Mullins with the Skybreakers, Mr. Jesus.
Who's the man who fed 5,000 people? Who turned the water into wine? Who's the man who calmed the raging sea? Mr. Jesus, who died on Calvary. Silver, that's all right. Well, I want to read the book of Revelation. We can win the world runs out of time. Who's the man who fed 5,000 people? Who turned the water into wine? Who's the man who calmed the raging sea? Who died on Calvary? When I go, please, please don't cry. Just lay my little Bible on my chest. I'll be whole and I'll be laid to rest. Who's the man who fed 5,000 people? Who turned the water into wine? Mr. Jesus, who died on Calvary. Mr. Jesus, who died on Calvary.
Here's the Lowest Valley.
Lord, I don't want to do one thing on my own. Put me where you want me, Lord, it's where I belong. Give me the strength to do thy perfect will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. Lord, what you want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things you want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of thy will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb. This old world, it
It's more wicked every day. People's hearts are growing cold, forgotten how to pray. If I live to be 100, I'll keep holding to his hand till he comes to take me home to that promised land. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things you want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of thy will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill.
You're listening to Heaven's Radio Gospel Hour on KKRN, Community Radio, 88.5 FM. I'm your host, Janie Seeger. In order to keep these programs on the air, KKRN depends on the support of our listeners. If you haven't already done so, please consider joining our KKRN family by sending a donation of support to KKRN at P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96065, or find that donate button on our safe, secure website at kkrn.org. You can sign up to become a monthly donor there as well. Another way that you can help is by donating your car, truck, boat, or RV to the KKRN cause by going to careasy.org or by calling 1-855-500-7433. We thank you.
This is Chris Mullins. You're listening to Heaven's Radio Gospel Hour on KKRN Community Radio, 88.5 FM.
All right. Thank you, Chris. I have Chris Mullins in the studio with me today. He's a singer, songwriter, and musician. He's also a recording engineer and instructor. So tell us, Chris, how did you move from Kentucky to New Zealand?
Well, it's not really a long story. It's kind of a short story. You know, it's somewhere I always wanted to go, and so I grew up listening to country and bluegrass music. That was what my dad was into, and he would play guitar. But being a teenager, you always want to rebel, right? So I was actually into heavy metal first. That's what I got into first, was playing heavy metal bass. But then I got this job working at a fun place called the Kentucky Music Hall of Fame and Museum, and I started hanging out with these bluegrass musicians. And I started realizing that there's interesting things about all types of genres of music. And so, I was just kind of getting more open mind about things, and I wanted to travel. I always wanted to go to New Zealand, and then I found this school over there that wasn't too expensive, and got to study with this guy named John Pisathis. He did the music for the Olympics in Greece a number of years ago.
Wow.
Classical composer. So I went over there and lived there for 3 years. Did my undergraduate stuff in music composition. Really wanted to learn about just how music worked and theory, and kind of studying the classical side. Not necessarily for the intent of writing or playing classical music, but just to get a deep understanding of how music works. And before that I studied audio engineering in Kentucky, and then later got a graduate degree in music composition. So I just find music fascinating, you know, and that's kind of all where it began. But I had a great experience over there, met a lot of awesome people, and got to kind of expand what I was playing too. So I started playing bass, and then later on I played guitar and started picking up mandolin and banjo. Well, while I was over there, I met some people that were really into Irish music in New Zealand, so I started kind of getting that influence. And so I feel like that all kind of ties into what I'm trying to do with the New Time String Band, is that I just trying to find your own voice, you know, as a composer and as an artist, and take all those different influences, because I really like the guitar grooves that they have in Irish music, but I really like slide guitar and dobro stuff, and vocal harmonies from bluegrass music, but also like modern things that have drums. There's even a hip-hop remix of one of my songs on the record, so it kind of really, really runs the gamut. But I just try to, I think if you have an open mind, you can find something interesting about any kind of music.
That's true, yeah. And when you mix those instruments with different genres, it's really cool too. I've heard fiddle and banjo and stuff like that on rock.
Yeah, so there's that hip-hop remix was done by a guy who was in a band called Gangsta Grass, and they were recently featured on America's Got Talent, and they did their jump to fame was they did the theme music for a show called Justified. But you know, the name Gangsta Grass, well, they've got two rappers and a bluegrass band, and you wouldn't think it works, but it works really well. Wow. And I wasn't into hip hop until the last maybe 5 years or something. But I reached out to him and said, hey, would you be interested in doing a remix of this and talking to one of the rappers in your band to do this? And he was up for it. So that was a really exciting thing, you know. And now with the internet and the way that the music industry is, you can work with people on the other side of the globe. You know, you just send them your tracks. They lay their parts down. And so that's pretty neat too, you know. One of the advantages of just being connected through the internet and being able to, if you have an idea of, I'd like to have a whatever instrument on this, you can find somebody that could add that part to your song. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah, I get lost when my internet's down. Wow. It does so much, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So tell me about your studio, Studio 129.
Yeah, so Studio 129 is in Orland, and it's part of the Glynn County Office of Education. We teach audio engineering. We do a few different things. The main thing we do is we teach audio engineering. We also offer commercial songwriting for bands, songwriters, anybody that wants to go there at a nonprofit rate. It just kind of keeps the school going. And we also do some service things for the community and for school bands and choirs and that sort of stuff. It's an incredible job. You know, I get to work with people who are interested in all kinds of music. You were asking me before the interview about what kind of students do you get. Well, it honestly runs the gamut, because we'll get young people that are interested in hip hop that are wanting to, you know, move into this field, and this could be a gateway for them to start their education here and then maybe move to Butte College. We have a agreement with them where some of our classes will transfer credits for them over there. We've had a lot of people who have wanted to start a home recording studio, so quite a number of people who they've written songs and they played guitar forever, and now they're retiring, or they, you know, they've just at a point where they want to start getting more into their music, and they come to us because anybody can buy all this equipment, but it takes some knowledge to know how to hook it all up and to use the software. We teach Pro Tools, and also we've gotten some people who are interested in live sound, particularly for churches. You know, that's a real big thing now, is the live sound requirements to put on a church service. Well, again, you could have all the equipment, but knowing how to use it, I think education will speed that up a lot.
I've seen people with an iPad on live shows setting the speakers and adjusting the sound. Is that something that you teach there?
So we don't specifically teach what you're talking about. I a lot of times people incorporate iPads as a wireless way to control their front of house, or especially with monitors, so they can walk around and control their board. They have a digital board. But what I always tell people, because we get some people that maybe they're interested more in live sound, or maybe they're interested, maybe not even Pro Tools, it could be a different digital audio workstation like Logic or Cubase, or here you're using Adobe Audition. But what I tell people is, if you master Pro Tools and you take our mixing class, you'll know how all the tools work. And I think that it transfers really quickly, because that's the stuff that we really try to hone in on in our introductory course, is the terminology, how signal flow works, and then compressors and equalizers and auxiliary sends. Because if you understand all that stuff, it's just the same thing, but it looks different. Does that kind of make sense? You know?
Yeah. It's a lot less to carry.
Yeah, it would be a lot less to carry. Because those are wireless ways that you can control your recording setup, too. I've seen people do that in studios. We had a student that was showing that the other day, that he could walk around the room and control the computer with his iPad. So, I mean, the things that are out there now, it's incredible for live sound. You know, you can save everything if you have a digital board. And, you know, we used to have these racks of equipment. Well, now that could be all within one unit, and it's enormous convenience.
And you push a button when you get to the venue and you set up, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you sound check for one band and you could save that, and then have another band come up, save those completely different settings.
That's so much easier than it used to be.
Yeah. And what they're doing in churches, I mean, the productions are incredible with all of the, you know, they may be using some backing tracks. They've got different things going on for monitors. So, you know, you've got to be at a large church venue, you've got to be a serious engineer, and often they have multiple ones, I would imagine, too.
So I didn't know you did live sound as well. That's pretty interesting. So if for you folks out there, if you want to learn more about this, it's called Studio 129, and it's in Orland. And could you tell them the website?
Yeah, it's 129recording.com. And also, if you're interested in seeing what's going on social media, you can just look for hashtag 129recording.
Awesome. It makes me want to go back to school. So you said four courses, right? Four segments?
Yeah, so it's four classes, but really three segments. So the introductory course, which is online and self-paced, that allows people to drop in whenever they like and knock that out really quickly if they want to, or take a little bit longer. And then the other courses are in person, where they learn about Pro Tools and mixing. And the last class is a projects class, where students take everything that they've learned and put that to a practical use on whatever their thing would be. A lot of times it's working on their own music, but it could be working on somebody else's music. And one of the cool values of that program is that people can retake that last course if they're interested and keep having access to the studio. The other instructor, Brian, he calls it the YMCA of music in the local area sometimes, you know, is that we're trying to create to be part of the music scene, you know, that's developing. Orland's small, but there are places like they have the Hive over there where people are playing live and things. And we're not too far from Redding or Chico or even Sacramento. We've had students that come as far as Magalia and Corning, other places.
So you're up here in Redding today checking out some studios. What are you going to ask them about?
With teaching audio engineering, we're teaching career and technical education. So, you know, at the state level, that's what they tell us we're doing, right? And one of the things that they like to see are industry partnerships with programs that they've helped start. So we got grant funding from the state to help start the audio engineering program in Orland. And, you know, it's kind of a challenge finding industry partners when you're in essentially the entertainment sector and you're in a rural area. But we've been doing some research, and there's actually quite a few radio stations around and studios here in Redding. I was amazed at the number of studios and the quality of studios up here. So, you know, the goal is to have an option maybe for some yearly tours of studios for our students, but also maybe a place that they could potentially even intern, because we always tell students the music industry is notoriously competitive. However competitive you think it is, it's more competitive probably even than that. And I think that's, especially for young people, kind of hard to wrap your mind around. So it's hard for us to say, versus other programs where you go into, you know, a technical or a medical training or something where, oh, there's lots of those jobs and we can just put you to work right away. Well, because of the competitive nature of this industry, we can be a gateway for you. And then often you would need to intern to get your foot in the door. And so that's what I always tell people, you know, getting an education in whether it's music or recording arts or anything entertainment based, you can save yourself a lot of time. You could be self-taught and maybe do this, maybe start to make some money at it. But I think you have to be willing to put in some time where you're working for free. And I think you have to be willing to put in times where you're doing multiple things. I have a lot of friends that they may make money through their music, but not everybody is just, they have a band and that's what they're doing full time. You know, they'll run sound here and then they give guitar lessons and then they work at a guitar shop and then you have to be willing to kind of diversify your income streams like that.
Right. Well, that's pretty interesting. You were talking about family bands. What did you say about them?
Oh, we were talking before and you were saying about someone you knew and came through in here, the family bands. There's a lot of those in gospel music, you know, and in bluegrass music. And I just think it's fascinating that just anyone who has like developed in a different kind of lifestyle, you know, it's just interesting. And a lot of incredible young musicians in bluegrass music. I got to go to the IBMA a few years and they had it in Nashville or over in Raleigh, and man, the young people you will see get up there with guitars that are as big as these kids are and just blow you away. You know, there's just so many talented young folks.
That's the first thing they do is pick up an instrument and start playing it on the porch.
Right.
I remember that. I lived back there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of, I almost take that for granted, you know, being around it. It wasn't like my family was really into it, but the younger the younger you are, and that's, you know, that's part of what we're trying to do too, is get more young people interested in this. We try to go around and give presentations at the local school districts. That is kind of part of our mission too, is when you live in a rural area that's kind of in this agriculture belt, you just don't know what all jobs are out there other than what you see around, right? And we have a lot of fun doing that. Brian and I will go into the classroom and we give a presentation, and then we give students a chance to kind of mix with the session that we've brought and show them different things. And one of them will be a hip hop session, and the students enjoy that. And you just don't know how many jobs there are out there behind the scenes. So that's why I enjoy teaching with these technical things, because with any kind of something you see, if you see someone on stage or you listen to this radio program, there are people that are working behind the scenes to make all this stuff happen.
Well, I know we talked a little about this before, but you do have people come in there and rent the studio and you engineer for them. Is that correct?
Yeah. Thanks for giving another plug for that, Janie. So we kind of talked about the classes. Another thing that we will do is a commercial recording there, and we're a nonprofit because we're a school. So, you know, whatever people pay is just going back into just keeping the educational program going. But it is, it's a great studio. We have three isolation rooms, 24 channels. You can look up all the types of gear if you're into that sort of stuff, on our website. And, you get, me or Brian to engineer it. And then sometimes we pull in students too, to be part of that too.
So you don't charge people if they're a student. Is that right? And
there's a very small fee per 8 weeks if you're a student. But it's next to nothing. Yeah. For the amount of time that you get in the studio, if you're a continual student. So those students that will keep on coming back, it's very cheap for the amount of access they get for a very nice studio and all the equipment.
So they can come in for that last segment as many times as they want?
Absolutely, yeah. So they can keep retaking that and record themselves, work on their stuff, or sometimes they have a band that they would play with that they want to get in there. And that's the best value overall, is to stay connected as a student.
Right. That is a good deal.
This is Chris Mullins. You're listening to Heavens Radio Gospel Hour on KKRN Community Radio, 88.5 FM. So when I was a teenager, like I mentioned, I was first into heavy metal. And one of the reasons that I started getting into bluegrass is I would see these people showing up for gigs, and they would bring nothing but a little mandolin case to the gig instead of a drum set and, all these huge amps and all this stuff. And also I noticed that they would get paid. And two stories we were talking about before this. I was asked one time, like, what was my best gig? And I thought, I could have no idea. I could tell you some of the worst ones though. There was one time, well, I got this new amp, and I'd saved up my money. I was probably about 15 or 16, and we get home and me and my buddy are rocking out, and it was a bass guitar, so it really rattles the walls. And my dad comes in, slams open the door and says, "Son, you're knocking the pictures off the wall." And he's got his huge wedding photo frame, and it's cracked up through the middle. And we both stopped, looked at him and said, "Cool." And so that weekend we took it out to the gig. There weren't a lot of people in, Southern Kentucky that were going to the metal shows, right? And we had one guy, we had one fan that was really into us. But he wanted to, I don't know why he got up on stage. He wouldn't have been on stage dives. There's nobody else in the crowd. And he was up there headbanging and stuff. And he goes to put his hand on my brand new amp, and he pushes it off and breaks one of the jacks. So I kicked him off the stage because I didn't want him on there. And that's how we lost our only fan.
Oh, your only fan? He was only your fan because you let him on stage.
Yeah, I guess. So if you're interested in learning audio engineering or doing some recording, or you just want to check the studio out, we'd love to give you a tour. Check it out on 129recording.com. Get in touch with us. You can come down and see it.
Right. That's fabulous. Thanks for making that long journey all the way from Orland. We appreciate you sharing your music with us, Chris, and for all the great information on Studio 129. I plan to visit someday soon. I hope your listeners will take advantage of this wonderful opportunity to learn and bring your recordings back to me to air on this show. Chris, go ahead and tell your students about this show, if you would, please. I'd love to hear their music and to share it with our listeners.
Thank you so much, Jenny, and I always want to thank the community radio DJs because you all are what keeps indie music alive, so thanks for having me.
I have another very special guest in the studio today. Diane Blaylock is here from Evans Radio Music Ministry. Let's give her a listen.
Thanks, Janie. So today I want to talk to you about Gideon. I want to give you a little backstory on Gideon, and we're going to start in Judges 6. Here it is. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds, which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you, and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice." So evidently they were, listening to those gods. And now here's about Gideon. "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abrizite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress, in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.' And Gideon said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.' Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' So he said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.'" So here's Gideon, and he's threshing the wheat in the wine press, and, so he's hidden, and he's trying to keep his little harvest he's got from, getting ripped off again, and they've been getting ripped off for 7 years. And here the Lord comes and tells him, you're the one. I'm going to raise you up, and you're going to be a deliverer, kind of like Moses. And Moses kind of did the same thing. The Lord would tell him to do stuff, and he'd say, "Well, God, I stutter." He says, "Okay, let me send Aaron." And so Gideon kind of goes through a little series of things like that. So this is what happens with him. He says, "Then he said to him," this is Gideon, "'If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you.' And he said, 'I will wait until you come back.'" That's God talking. "So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of God said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth.' And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die.' So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, 'The Lord is Peace.' To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abizurites. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old,'" and get this, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has. So his father was worshiping Baal, you know. And God says, go tear down your father's idol. And he's like, okay. And cut down the wooden image that is beside it and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. So he's still, you know, he's working in fear because this is a big deal. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. So they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it. But Joash said to all who stood against him, this is pretty smart, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he has torn down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet, and the Abizrites gathered behind him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. So that's, you know, the rest of the Israelites. And then Gideon, he still needs some signs from the Lord, you know. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there's dew on the fleece only and it's dry on the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowlful of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Now, let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, that's his new name now, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said, so Gideon's ready to rock and roll now, so... And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for herself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. You know, we tend to do that sometimes. Now, we have to give glory to God. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, 10,000 remain. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whoever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. And I always wondered about this, what this means, you know. Does that mean that those men were more ready to fight because they were putting their hand or their mouth, so they're kind of looking up, you know? Because the other guys, they'd have to put two hands down and put their mouth straight down to the water. So, you know, I just wondered about that. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands. And he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Got 300 now. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. That's the enemy. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. So he's going to go hear something. Then he went down with Purah his servant to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sand by seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it, so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And so it was, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he's kind of behind the scenes there somewhere, that he worshipped, he returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hands. So he sure knew. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch. And when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets, and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. So yeah, so they had to be super busy. They had to know exactly what they were doing to be able to use their hands and all that. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia toward Zerarah, as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. Then Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and seize them from the watering places as far as Beth Barah in the Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering places as far as Beth Barah in the Jordan. And so they're getting their territory back, and they captured two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Zeb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. So that's basically the whole story, you know, and it's about somebody who was in fear and in darkness and had to be reassured and, you know, that, you know, God's with you and he wants you to do something. So, but believe me when I say, if you're with the Lord and the Lord's with you and he wants you to do something, he's going to help you do it. And that's it. Thank you, and may God bless you for listening.
I'd like to thank my special guests today, Chris Mullen and Brian Berry from Orland, and Diane Blaylock from Heavens Radio Music Ministry. If you would like to be a guest on this program, please go to our website, kkrn.org, and at the bottom of the page, click on my picture for ways that you can get your songs to me. While you're there, please click on that donate button and give what you can to help support KKRN Community Radio 88.5 FM. Let's also give a big thanks to the folks that we count on to put these shows on the air and keep this station running like a fine-tuned trumpet. I'm going to wrap up our music journey today with some music by Heavens Radio Music Ministry. Be sure to turn to God with your troubles. He can do anything, and he can be anything that you need. Let him work in your life. Trust him, and he will direct your path. Keep him with you on your journey, and you'll never lose your way. I'm Janie Seeger. Please join me here every Sunday at 10 a.m. for Heavens Radio Gospel Hour. Now stay tuned for American Roots on KKRN Community Radio. In Revelation, God promises to wipe away all tears from our eyes. 1 Thessalonians tells us Jesus will come for us. He will descend from heaven with a shout. The dead in Christ shall rise. Then we that remain will be caught up together in the clouds to meet Jesus in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.